Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 8, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, Text 57. Svechavatara charitair
Svechavatara charitair
Achinchanitya mayaya
Achinchanitya mayaya
Karishyati utamasloka
Karishyati utamasloka
Tadjaya dridayangama Svechavatara charitair
Svechavatara charitair
Achinchanitya mayaya
Achinchanitya mayaya
Karishyachyutama sloka
Karishyachyutama sloka
Tadjaya dridayangama
Tadjaya dridayangama
Svayicha
By his own supreme will.
Avatara.
Incarnation.
Charitai.
Activities.
Achincha.
Inconceivable.
Nijamaya.
By his own potency.
Karisyati.
Performs.
Uttamasloka,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tad,
that.
Jayed,
one should meditate.
Hridayam
gama,
very attractive.
Translation,
my dear Dhruva. Besides, worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra 3 times a day, you should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, as exhibited by his supreme will and personal potencies. Purport. Devotional service comprises 9 prescribed practices, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving, offering everything to the deity, etc. Here, Dhruva Maharaj, his advice not only to meditate on the form of the Lord, but to think of his transcendental pastimes in his different incarnations. Mayavadi philosophers take the incarnation of the Lord to be in the same category as the ordinary living entity. This is a great mistake. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not forced to act by the material laws of nature. The word svecha is used here to indicate that he appears out of his supreme will. The conditioned soul is forced to accept a particular type of body according to his karma, given by the laws of material nature under the direction of the Supreme Lord. But when the Lord appears, he is not forced by the dictation of material nature. He appears as he likes, by his own internal potency. That is the difference. The conditioned soul accepts a particular type of body, such as the body of a hog, by his work and by the superior authority of material nature. But when Lord Krishna appears in the incarnation of a boar, he is not the same kind of hog as an ordinary animal. Krishna appears as Varaha avatar in an expansive feature which cannot be compared to an ordinary hog's. His appearance and disappearance are inconceivable to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that he appears by his own internal potency for the protection of the devotees and the annihilation of the non-devotees. A devotee should always consider that Krishna does not appear as an ordinary human being or ordinary beast. His appearance as Varahamurti or a horse or tortoise is an exhibition of his internal potency. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. One should not mistake the appearance of the Lord as a human being or a beast to be the same as the birth of an ordinary conditioned soul, who is forced to appear by the laws of nature, whether as an animal, as a human being, or as a demigod. This kind of thinking is offensive. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has condemned the Mayavadis as offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their thinking that the Lord and the conditioned living entities are one and the same. Narada advises Dhruva to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, which is as good as the meditation of concentrating one's mind on the form of the Lord. As meditation on any form of the Lord is valuable, so is chanting of different names of the Lord, such as Hari, Govinda, and Narayan. But in this age, we are specially advised to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as enunciated in the Shastra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hari. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Kirandana Salakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a transcendental personality. The entire appearance of the Supreme Lord is also spiritual, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never assuming a material form. Rather, he has his eternal forms, and these eternal forms are unlimited. Just as Narada Muni is suggesting that Dhruva Maharaj focuses on the various avatars, the manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different incarnations. So this is indicating how the Supreme Lord is always transcendental in all his different varieties of forms. And to understand how the Supreme Lord is manifesting himself in unlimited forms, one can study the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord and understand that we're dealing with the one and same Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is the description of Nisringa Nanda Brahmacharya, who had his own Nisringa deity and who was then also cooking for the deity of Lord Krishna. And it was stated that Nisringa Nanda Brahmacharya was pointing out that there he was cooking separate for the two deities. And then he was also making an offering to Lord Chaitanya. And he said, then when Lord Chaitanya came, then he would eat all the offerings. Lord Chaitanya came in his meditation and would eat all the offerings each time. So he was upset externally, but internally he appreciated it. And later in that pastime, it is clarified that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stating, "What can I do?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later met Nisringananda in person, and then Nisringananda complained, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he was non-different from these other deities. And that is what Nisringananda wanted to establish, that the Supreme Lord appears in these different forms, but that there's no difference. These forms are not separate personalities. They are separate manifestation of the same personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the nature of Vishnu Tattva. The Supreme Lord has various forms. It is described, he has his Prakash Rupa, where he is expending a same form of himself, like Krishna in Dwarka. And then he has his Vaibhava Rupa, his forms where he manifests his original full spiritual potency, but yet takes another form, such as Balaram. Balaram is described to be non-different from Krishna. So the only difference is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. So before the rest, they are the same. It's not that the potency of Krishna has diminished when he expands as Balaram. He is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we are speaking of Narayan, then actually in that manifestation the potency has lessened. And if we are further expanding, potency may even decrease more. So various incarnations of the Lord are described like different lights that each have their own voltage and wattage, and therefore they have their own strength. So therefore it is said, Eti cham sakalapum sa krishna stu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam nirdayanti yuge yuge. That of all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Lord in the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his own original form, Swayam, in his own self. So in the form of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully manifesting all his potencies, not partially, not plenary. He is the full Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is Asamurdva. Asamurdva means there's no one who can equal him. So he's unique. Ekala Iswara or Sababritya. All are serving the Supreme Lord. The thing is this, is that Lord Krishna expands himself into unlimited forms, but all these forms are also serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as we're seeing that Balaram is Adiguru, because he's the original servant of the Supreme Lord. Lakshman is the servant of Lord Ramachandra. And it is also stated that Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya are in that spirit. Advaita Acharya was constantly remembering that he was the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ami Chaitanya Dasa Muni, he said. Ami Chaitanya Dasa Muni. I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the position even of the avatars. So it is very interesting. Ekala Iswara or Sababritya. Only one is Iswara and all the others are Britya. And the ecstasy experienced in that service is just overwhelming. This is the true spirit, to somehow or other become the servant. We're seeing that Advaita Acharya is experiencing unlimited ecstasy. So this service must be first, for the conditioned soul, must be first practiced. It is described in the Upadesamrita that there is a jaundice patient who cannot taste the sweetness of sugar. Due to all the bile in his system, the sugar actually tastes bitter. But as he gets cured of his disease, sugar will be sweet. And the best medicine for one who has jaundice is sugar candy, misri, which is to be dissolved in water and then drunk. And that purifies the liver. So the sweet is the medicine. And it is said it must be taken again and again until it begins to actually taste sweet. But in the beginning it tastes bitter. So this is the nature of the conditioned soul, who cannot immediately appreciate the spiritual aspects of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore a system for cultivation of attraction to Krishna is required. It is said the neophyte devotee, the Kanista Adhikari, he is worshipping the Lord more out of social obligation and in a manner of ritualistic performance. But the Madhyam Adhikari is described to be Prema Maiti Upeksha. He has an attitude of praying for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tadanisu Ishwara. He has praying for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has a sense of friendship for the devotees. He is merciful to the ignorant, and he is avoiding the envious. So, in this way, the intermediate devotee is relating to people and to the Supreme Lord in these ways. And it is said that we must become such a intermediate devotee. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma is classifying that more. And he is saying that the Madhyam Adhikari, the intermediate devotee who has prem or love for the Supreme Lord, that prem manifests in Sudha Bhakti, in pure devotional service. That manifests that he is surrendered to the Supreme Lord and therefore acts on the pure devotional platform. And it said, therefore, he is Anya Abhilasita Sunyam. Right? So, which means he's free from any other desire. So, although in the verse Anya Abhilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama, it is explained that actually these are the symptoms of Uttama Bhakti, of topmost devotional service, to be Anya Abhilasita Sunyam. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no, it already begins in the Madhyam Adhikari stage, in that prema, where one begins to act on that platform of Anya Abhilas, and one is not investing in any other desire anymore, and therefore one is Anya Abhilas. Yeah. The prema bhakta may be totally not even considering anything but devotional service for the Supreme Lord in a natural way. His mind is naturally drawn to the Supreme Lord. Just like it said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said his mind was like a powerful horse and his five senses would be seated on that powerful horse, and then it would storm towards Krishna. That is a little different than keeping the senses controlled by constant cultivation of hearing and chanting. It's a different level. So the Madhyam Adhikari may be experiencing the need for constant cultivation so that he will remain fixed in pure devotional service. But Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yayeta Purushampara, he remains fixed in pure devotional service. He's not engaging in any other activities, pure devotional service only. And therefore, he's considered to be a pure devotee, actually. So, it is interesting to hear these kind of descriptions. So, Dhruva Maharaj at this stage was just a neophyte devotee and was just beginning his spiritual life, and Narada was engaging him in the essential aspects of devotional service expressed in the nine processes or nine aspects of devotional service. And for the sake of purifying Dhruva Maharaj, so this is the way to cultivate pure devotional service to Krishna. So the devotee, as he is cultivating his devotional service for Krishna, gradually his surrender to Krishna, his insight of the tattva, of the nature of the Supreme Lord, is deepening and deepening. And the essence of everything is that he understands his own dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he is actually totally dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his happiness. Without, there is no happiness. So, therefore, the devotee is gradually increasing his devotional service until it is ahaitikiya pratiyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. Then we speak of pure devotional service in Bhagavatam. Savai pumso parau dharmo yato bhaktira doksa jay ahaitikiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. Then Srimad Bhagavatam is saying we're dealing with a devotee who is totally pure. So by the definitions that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us that can be manifest both in an advanced Madhyama Adhikari or in a Uttama Adhikari. But then to be a confidential devotee is yet another level, where one is aware of one's spiritual identity and where the Lord actually reveals this. This is also described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the distinction is made between pure devotees and confidential devotees. So this is another level. To become a confidential devotee of the Lord means that we begin to know our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, although we are in this material body. Then we are confidential devotee of the Lord. It is said when Raghunath Das Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. And it is said that at that time Raghunath, under the direction of Sarup Damodar Goswami, began his Antaranga Seva. He began to enter into this confidential platform. So in other words, he began to understand his Siddhadeha. But prior to that, one can already act on the platform of pure devotion by simply engaging in the service of Krishna without holding back. That is also pure devotion. So, in our present state, we're trying to come to this point of not holding back anything from Krishna. And therefore, we must increase our involvement in active service, in hearing and chanting, so that we become further and further purified. Because it is stated that pure devotional service is resting on sumati. It rests on a proper disposition. It is said due to the reactions to previous sinful activities, there is a sinful disposition within the heart. And that sinful disposition in the heart is causing us to become involved in either sinful activities, or it's holding us back from really taking up hearing, chanting and remembering of Krishna very serious. But when we are looking for the association of Krishna constantly, then we become purified. The only way to become purified is to associate, remember and serve Krishna. Right? Because Krishna is the supreme pure, and Krishna will purify anyone who comes in contact with him automatically. If one comes in contact with Krishna, only then can one be purified. There is no such process by which one can actually purify the heart. It is stated that there are processes, mechanical processes, mentioned in the Vedas that one can follow to purify oneself from karmic reactions. And that can be done through some process of atonement, priyaschitta. But one cannot actually purify the heart. To purify the heart from impure desire, that can only be done by gradual cultivation. So this is our present stage. This is what we are doing. We're living in the temple, or we're living near the temple, and we are trying to purify ourselves. Therefore, we must make time for that and make that our main focus. In the beginning, because we are very attached to mundane activities, it is especially favorable to move the material energy in the service of Krishna. Whereas later, more time may be taken for directly remembering Krishna. So, we must look for this purity. And this purity is first of all depending on the chanting of the holy name, and second of all, depending on Srimad Bhagavatam. These two are the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam is the basis of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually defeating the impersonalist philosophers, the Mayavadis in Kasi or in Varanasi, at that time he was doing so mainly with arguments from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was clearly establishing the purpose of Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalam Sukamukat Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, that this process is available to all Vaishnavas. So somehow or other, we must increase the quality of our devotional service. And for this purpose, we require knowledge. If we do not enter deeply into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then we may not be able to apply ourselves properly to the process of devotional service. We may apply ourselves, but because we are contaminated with the three modes of material nature, we may apply ourselves and our devotional service may become mixed. And it may become mixed with passion and ignorance, and even mixed with the mode of goodness. But we must come to the pure and transcendental platform where we have no other interest than the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the stages of surrender which are required, that the interest of the Lord becomes our interest. Such this type of knowledge is important to understand. We must be conscious of what we are doing in this process so that we can apply ourselves properly. So it is important to cultivate knowledge. If we want to avoid offensive behavior, then we have to actually develop knowledge. The Lord is never to be considered ordinary, no matter in whatever feature He appears. He's always the Supreme Lord, and He always stays the Supreme Lord. And the devotees, therefore, are worshipping every form of the Supreme Lord. One should not worship one form and not worship another form. Every form of the Lord is worshipable. That is the point. Even in Varaha Murti, in the form of a boar. So even when the Lord is in the form of a boar, that is also glorious. Therefore, when a devotee is carrying the name Varaha, right, it doesn't mean that it's it's a covert indication of the devotee's bodily features as a boar. It's glorious, Varaha. Varaha is a name of a boar, but it is the Supreme Lord, and that is it is purifying. The reason why we are having transcendental names is for the sake of purification. It is for the sake of associating with the Supreme Lord. Because devotees are simply having names of the Supreme Lord, and by remembering these names, we are getting the association of the Supreme Lord, and we are being purified constantly. So in this way, the entire Vaishnav community has an intricate culture which is meant to help us cultivate Krishna consciousness And these are required. There is required a spirit of surrender. It can only come from the association of the pure devotees and from transcendental knowledge. It is the association of the pure devotees and transcendental knowledge that will motivate us to really surrender to the Supreme Lord. All the other preliminary causes for surrendering to the Supreme Lord, Chatur Vidabhajan Demam Jana Sukritino Arjuna, Arti, Arti Atherti Kya Sur, anyway. The various qualifications of the personalities who join because they are looking for relief from material distress, because they are looking for, they are curious, or they're interested in wealth, or they're looking for knowledge. Those who are actually wise. Out of these motivations, only the drive for wisdom is durable, and all the others will shortly transform. Although we may maintain some elements of them, some elements. If one is looking for wealth, there may be an element that remains for a long time. Even although we engage in devotional service, we're also appreciating the material benefits that we are getting from Krishna consciousness. But this is very detrimental to our spiritual advancement, because this will bind us to the Kanista platform. Our faith cannot be firm. So one who is attached to the material benefits that he gets from spiritual life cannot really advance much beyond the Kanista Adhikari platform. When I say cannot advance much, I mean to say that he may develop certain qualities of the Madhyama Adhikari, but he cannot fully develop the platform of the Mayavadi, of the Madhyamadhikari. The Madhyamadhikari is the desired platform, Srila Prabhupada states. So a devotee must become a Mayavadi. Krishna, what's going on with me? My mind is not clear because of the mucus in my head. Therefore, my thoughts are thick and slow. So, I'm wanting to say the right thing, but the wrong things come out. So, the Madhyam is the devotee, the intermediate devotee, who wants to cultivate his love for the Supreme Lord. So, this is important. We must actually cultivate love for Krishna. Not just engage in the activities of devotional service automatically. Not just engaging in the devotional service in a ritualistic manner. Like we go to Mangalartik, we go through the Japa period, we go through Guru Puja and so on in a ritualistic manner. That is not actually the right spirit. The right spirit is that we must cultivate love for Krishna in these activities. So to make these activities meaningful, we must actually develop our love for Krishna. That can be done in various ways. One is by making a conscious effort, by cultivating knowledge so that we can appreciate Krishna more. And the other one is through through changing the sinful disposition of the heart by the process of anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madokshache, by removing the anartas from the heart through the process of devotional service. So simultaneously, we are being purified by devotional service, by simply engaging in transcendental activities, and simultaneously we are making a conscious endeavor to develop a loving attitude towards Krishna. So to develop love for Krishna, to appreciate Krishna very much, just see how eager is Krishna for the living being to remain in the liberated state. How much does Krishna desire that the living beings stay eternally in the spiritual sky? How much is Krishna trying to save the living entity from entering into the material world? How much is Krishna endeavoring from the moment that the living being is entering into the material world to instruct him from within as Chaitya Guru, as Paramatma, from within and from without, by making unlimited arrangements for the deliverance of the conditioned soul? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna is more eager to deliver the living beings than the living beings are eager to be delivered themselves. And this is our condition. We kind of want to be delivered. We kind of want to be delivered. But at the same time, we kind of also want so many things in this temporary domain. But Krishna is totally eager to deliver every spirit soul. And therefore, the mercy of Krishna is very, very great. Mercy of Krishna is his eagerness to take every living being back to Godhead. That is that special mercy of Krishna. And that is what Krishna is aiming for. And even if Krishna is giving the living beings other matters, other things than going back to Godhead, then that is only a step on the way. It is said that Krishna is fulfilling the desires and frustrating the desires of the living being, sometimes fulfilling, sometimes frustrating. And in this, his only purpose is to bring him to the point where the living being develops a desire to go back to Godhead. Although sometimes, if someone wants to go to hell, the Supreme Lord may sanction that desire and allow him to go to hell. Yes. Some people really want to go to hell. The Supreme Lord is sanctioning. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Right. And he allows it all to happen. But always within the back of his mind, the desire that after that, then, when you're finished with hell, then I will try again to get the upwards motion towards Krishna, towards the spiritual world, towards devotional service happening. So, therefore, a devotee must be very careful to protect this his spiritual progress. Once on the spiritual path, progress is guaranteed. But we must be careful not to commit offenses, because then we can deviate from the path or be taken away from the path. The example of Sobari Muni is to be kept in mind, who made an offense to the devotee of the Lord and as a result developed lusty desires, and as a result became interested in material sense gratification. So interest in sense gratification or lusty desires are a symptom of offensive behavior in devotional service, of an offensive mentality. So if we can give up our offenses in serving Krishna by really becoming more and more eager to please Krishna, then the effect of previous offenses, which may still cover our heart, will be removed very quickly. The big problem is that when it comes to an offensive mentality in the heart, we are getting the reactions of previous offenses, and the cleansing is not really happening very nicely because we keep on adding the same offensive mood at present. It's like if you have a cut on your skin and you keep on scratching off the scab that forms, right? You can just each time, you know, take it off, the scab. And, you know, in the end you get a huge sore if you keep on doing this. The wound gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So we are already suffering the reactions of previous offenses, and we keep on piling the same offense up on top of it. So in this way, the offense goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and then will take more time to rectify. But if we are allowing, if we're very careful to not commit any further offenses, then the reactions of previous offense can heal very quickly. Just as some. So this is the this is what is being recommended. Krishna Anushilanam, to favorably cultivate Krishna consciousness. And this is what Narada Muni is now suggesting to Dhruva Maharaj. Now you favorably cultivate your Krishna consciousness. And Dhruva Maharaj is faithfully accepting the order of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and because he faithfully serves the order of his spiritual master, the results will be tremendous. And that is actually, that's a given. That's a given. There's no need to be mental and to doubt, will it work, Krishna consciousness? Will it work for me? All these kind of thoughts are simply maya. They are not relevant. They're simply illusion. These kind of doubts have no relevance at all in Krishna consciousness. It will work. It will work for anybody. It has nothing to do with our particular individual material conditioning. It works for anyone. Without caste or creed, no matter how one is affected by the three modes of material nature, the process works. The essence is simply to be very careful in our cultivation, to avoid offenses, and to very nicely become absorbed in the cultivation. And then the results will come very quickly and effectively. So Narada Muni has complete knowledge and is very certain that this is a fact. And therefore, Narada Muni, when he gives his instructions, he knows this boy Prahlad will be, this boy Dhruva will be successful if he follows my directions. And in the same way, we also know if any of us gets serious and follows the same directions, success guaranteed. 100%. Right? 100%. Not that it works for some and not for others. It works for all. Right? Without fail. It always works if we are carefully taking to it. And if it doesn't work, it means that not the process is wrong, but then we're doing something wrong. Then we're not applying ourselves properly. Then it means that we are still committing the offenses, and therefore it's hard for the contamination of previous offenses to disappear, and the sinful disposition of our heart is not happening. Then we're committing the tenth offense against the holy name to maintain material attachments in the matter of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So now I'll end and ask for questions. Yes.
They say there is a never, in a devotional service there is a never loss.
Yeah.
And now you was mentioning something about like benefits of devotional service and like material kind of benefits.
Yes.
Is it possible to use the like spiritual back and count for material?
Yeah, this is possible. It is referred to by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as Taranga Ranjini, or enjoying the material side benefits that you get from devotional service. So, due to making spiritual advancement, one naturally gets also recognition. People will notice it. Yes, people will respect. So one can start to enjoy these benefits. Yes. One will be worshipped. One can enjoy being worshipped. One will get so much facilities, and one may start taking it for granted. One should always think that actually I'm most fallen. And it's simply because somehow or other, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I have been put on the proper path. Although by nature I'm sinful and fallen, I'm somehow on the proper path by the mercy of my spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, the Acharyas, and so on. And here I am. So now that I'm on this path, now I may be accepting some worship and some honor and some facilities that people are offering me. Free. I'm not working. They're offering me free. And I may be accepting all this. But actually, it's not my rightful claim. It's not my property. It's not that this is really due to me. I'm simply receiving this because now I'm on this path. So I have to be very, very careful to stay on this path. Like I often mentioned this point that you know, well, people always ask, when you're a sannyasi, isn't it very difficult that people are bowing down to you? I always say that they're not bowing down to me. They're bowing down to my clothes. Yeah. Because if I change my dress, they'll stop bowing down to me. Yeah. So they're bowing down to my clothes. So I shouldn't start thinking they're bowing down to me. They're bowing down just because now I have this external position of a sannyasi. So, but if one begins to enjoy these side benefits that come, then that can overshadow actually one's spiritual advancement. It's not that the bank account then becomes depleted, but the access to it may temporarily not be available. So we can cover. One problem in spiritual life is that although the bank account, there is Neha Bigrama Nasasti, nothing will ever be lost, but offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name, they can temporarily cover the access to the bank account. And then it's in there, you can't get it. Just your bank account is frozen. If you commit serious aparat, then for a long time your bank account may be frozen and you cannot access your spiritual advancement. Then later, in due course of time, it may become defrozen again. So that's what's going on if you start to do this. Either make offenses or cultivate material attachments, which is an offense against the Holy Name. Then the access to your bank account gets frozen. And for a long time you cannot use it. Even forget it's there. Any other question or comment? I will do to right, Babu.
I'm interested if there is some definition of acharya. It might be or not confidential with what you are speaking about. Is there a definition that he must be Uttama Vikari or what's the
I think there are throughout the scriptures references where it is recommended that the devotee, the acharya, is an Uttama Adhikari. However, Uttama Adhikari also does not necessarily mean confidential devotee, because Uttama Adhikari, it is stated, begins really at Bhava Bhakti. The focus of the Uttama Adhikari is Prayojan, is the ultimate goal, love of God. And it's said that Bhava is like the rising of the first sun rays of love of God. And then Prema is where it's like the full effulgence is there of the of love of God. So Bhava and Prema is of the same nature. The intensity may be different, but it's of the same nature. And the focus is the same. For the Majjhama Adhikari, the essence is, the focus is on the cultivation. He has his love for Krishna. He has his natural attraction to Krishna and so on. He has ruchi. He begins to develop his ruchi, his taste. He begins to develop his ashakti, his attachment. But he has to continue to very carefully, sravana jalasechana, to water the seed and the creeper with hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord constantly. Therefore it is said the Majjhama Adhikari is engaged in Nirantar Nama Sankirtan. He is always chanting, incessantly, constantly chanting. And the spiritual master certainly does not have to be an Antaranga devotee. We find plenty of references that do not include that. So we can understand that there are different levels for an acharya. Sometimes in our movement, Srila Prabhupada has been taken as the role model of what an acharya should be. But it should be understood that Srila Prabhupada is way more than an acharya. He is exceeding the minimal requirement. Acharya basically must be anyabilasita sunyam, but at least on then the advanced Madhyama Adhikari state, where he is anyabilasita sunyam and where he is engaged in Sudha Bhakti. But Antaranga Bhakti, that's another matter. That is not necessarily a requirement. You see, the process in this age, especially, is Harinam Sankirtan. So because the process is Harinam Sankirtan, the holy name will carry the devotee. And it is therefore not necessary for the acharya to carry his disciple across the boundaries of Vaidhi Bhakti, of performing devotional service in a regulated mood, to the point of Raganuga Bhakti, where the devotee is beginning to develop a particular rasa, a particular mood, and a particular affinity for a particular siddhadeha. And then gradually this mood is intensifying, and his attachment to serve in a particular way is deepening and deepening and coming out with strong and deep attachment in bhava and deep emotional experiences. And then finally, fully manifests one's spiritual siddhadeha, fully manifests in the topmost platform of Krishna Prem. So even if the spiritual master is not having this position, well, there would be a problem, because one may say, how can he fulfill the duty of giving Siddha Pranali, of actually giving the spiritual identity to the disciple. But the point is that in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the process is not Lila Smaranam. The process, therefore, is not to, by means of Raganuga Sadhana and by means of focusing on Astakaliya Lila, to meditate on the Supreme Lord, but rather the process is Kirtanam, is Sankirtan. And therefore, through this process of Sankirtan, everything will be automatically revealed. And the Siddha Deha will also be automatically revealed. And there's no... And then, of course, Astakaliya Lila will also be automatically revealed. So therefore, in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is not required that an Acharya is situated in his Antaranga Seva. Right? Although many of our stalwart Acharyas were situated in that. And we see that Raghunadas Goswami is described and mentioned it as being situated in his Antaranga Seva. Srila Rupa Goswami, known as Rupa Manjari, and so on. So many stalwart Acharyas were situated in their Antaranga Seva. But it is not a prerequisite for one to act as an Acharya and to be able to deliver the conditioned souls back to Godhead. That is not a prerequisite. Yes?
There was some discussion about the Rupanand Raghunath, the associates to Lord Chaitanya, that means that only they came to serve Lord Chaitanya in the mission. And that would mean that the other Islamists and other devotees who were also very elevated
were sadhana siddhas. Well, Srila Prabhupada writes a letter to that effect in 1969, addressed to Kirtanananda, where he points out that indeed only Rupa and Raghunath are sadhana siddhas. And that is why generally it is also stated, Rupa Raghunath Pade, and why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his last address to the world was saying that we should spend gallons of blood and sacrifice them on the altar of Sankirtan in the service to the mission of Srila Rupa and Raghunath. Right? So, it's a fact. Therefore, the Acharyas are stressing Rupa and Raghunath. But then Prabhupada, in the same letter to Kirtananda, writes also that it doesn't make any difference. Siddha is Siddha. How we came there, that's not the issue. Siddha is Siddha. Once there is perfection, distinction cannot be made. One cannot say someone came by Kripa Siddha, someone was Nitya Siddha, someone was Sadhana Siddha. And therefore, Nitya Siddha is the first class and the others the second. No. Siddha is Siddha. That is the point. I promise not to go on too long with the class so that there would be some time for cleaning also. Things. So, cleaning must be done. So, I'm going to cooperate with the enthusiasm of the devotees. So, now it's 5 to 9, so I'll end. Thank you very much. Shubhapa ki.